When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks for downloading the latest episode of STT Rewind. I'm your host, Owen Hughes, and joining me this week is my regular co-host, Steve Norman, and my co-editor at SetTheTape.com, Tony Black. We start off the film section with a discussion about Shane Black's divisive sci-fi action movie, The Predator, and how trailers can be misleading, or not, as the case may be. In part two, we turn to TV and look at The Purge and how successful other media being adapted for the small screen has been before Matt Latham gives us his two-minute music roundup in cassette tape. Free Play celebrates our first anniversary with some listener questions, so what better way to start than to blow out the candles on this intro and get straight into the show. So straight into our film section, and this week we're keeping things quite brief for our first birthday anniversary, whatever we're gonna run with. But we're gonna talk about The Predator, Shane Black's latest film. I was quite excited for this. Were you too excited for The Predator?
Yes, and if it hadn't been for personal circumstances this weekend, I probably would have gone and seen it, but I haven't had chance to yet.
Okay, well, hold that thought, because the thought about The Predator, that is not the other thought, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But Tony, were you excited for this?
Yes. I haven't seen it yet,
though.
Well, okay. The internet almost talked me out of it, to be honest, in the run-up, because Everyone was saying, oh, it's terrible. Oh, it's rubbish. It's not a patch on things. And I was a bit like, oh, do I bother? And, you know, I find it hard to get to the cinema anyway these days. But then I started seeing some really positive reviews and It fired me up because I love Predator. I love the franchise. I love Shane Black. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see it. Don't know when I'm going to get it, but, like, I think I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's interesting that you both haven't seen it yet, but have kind of experienced the hype that's building up to it to a certain degree, because I think one of the most interesting things we can talk about with The Predator is how it was marketed. And as soon as that first trailer landed, the reaction to it was so negative that most people, even though it said Shane Black across the front, were put off somewhat. To me, I would go and see Shane Black. I was going to say something rude to him, just on his own. But, you know, I'd watch him read the telephone book. Let's say that instead.
Wipe his arse? Is that where you were going?
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay.
I was going along those lines, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would watch Shane Black do any sort of film and go, I'm going to go into this with a certain level of expectation. But, as I say, the first trailer landed. Generic action blockbuster fare was thrown around as sort of terms to describe it. Did you guys see this? I mean, Steve, as someone who hasn't seen it yet and hasn't yet told us what you are expecting from it, did you see that trailer and did you have any expectations for The Predator?
Yeah, I saw the trailer. I didn't really have any expectations because it's so long since the first two films are out, and then you've kind of had the terrible one with Adrian Brody, and the Alien versus Predator films. So you're kind of like half thinking, should they just leave it alone now? Half thinking, this looks interesting, and half thinking, does it though? And then the reviews are so mixed, you do have to make your mind up. I mean, if I listen to reviews of films that you hear online that are quite often negative, especially when it comes to big franchises, I wouldn't have bothered going to see Solo, which I really enjoyed. So negative reviews, I like to make my own mind up. Now, if every single person is giving something a stinking review, then yeah, you might well avoid it. But if it's mixed, just go and make your own mind up, and that's what I'll do for Predator.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that way. I mean, don't get me wrong, the internet certainly didn't talk me out of seeing it at all. It just maybe it was talking me out of going all that way to the cinema, because it's a bit of a trip, you know, for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always going to see it, and I didn't love the trailer. I thought the trailer was a bit, well, poorly edited, and I don't know, it didn't fire me up really. But I've still got faith. I've still got faith. I think it's one of those things where this is destined to be a divisive cult film, ultimately, which will go on and be better appreciated, I think, when a little bit of distance is away from it by a lot of people. And, you know, it's not for... Mm. You know, I really think, and I hate to say this, whereas I was going to say it's not for critics, and I don't mean that in the sense of the, you know, the saying that all critics are up their own arse with films, because they're not. But I think there are a lot of people who went into this either not wanting to like it or with a little bit of film snobbery about it. And I'm like, well, at the end of the day, it's the Predator. You know, what do you expect? So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's anyone who loves this kind of stuff is going to enjoy it, I reckon.
You used the term poorly edited there to describe the trailer. I think that is also applicable for the film, which is half of it feels like it's been left on the cutting room floor for various reasons. But the... yeah, as the only person here on the podcast who's seen it, and I've posted the review up on setthetape.com as well, where I gave it 4 stars out of 5. I think it's dumb, it's stupid, it's illogical, but it is fun. So I would give it a recommend to both of you guys. I think you'll both love it.
Cool.
That said, also on setthetape.com at the moment is a joint effort from the writers here at Set the Tape. I kind of took the lead in compiling a top 100 films on Shudder, the horror film streaming service, and it took a long time. I underestimated how long it would take, but we had contributions from a whole bunch of writers, yourself included, Tony. You contributed to sort of Battle Royale and some of the classics that are listed there on Shutter. So I'm just going to use this section just to wind up and plug that article. And for those interested, there is a 14-day free trial code to start streaming if you were so inclined. Onto the television box now, and Tony, you have been reviewing the Purge episode,
yes.
the latest TV series to hit Amazon, based on the film series, of course. How is it? How is the Purge, the TV show?
It's all right. It's not bad. I think the two reviews I've done so far, there'll be a third out on setattack.com this week. I think I gave them 3 out of 5, which... You know, roughly halfway in the middle, and it's okay. It's fun enough.
Yeah.
It's still finding its feet, really. It's still, you know, because it's the same premise, you know, which is that obviously you've got this, you know, national holiday in a twisted sort of future America where for one night, for 12 hours, anyone can do anything to anybody, murder, rape, anything, and they can get away with it legally. So you then have the Purge TV show, which is essentially real time. It's you know, each hour. It's like as the best way to describe it is 24 meets The Walking Dead meets The Purge, basically. That's the best way to describe it.
Right, okay.
And it you know, with trying to do a little bit of like 80s, occasional sort of John Carpenter schlock. I mean, the last one had 10 minutes, which was blatantly The Running Man, except not as good, right? And
right,
I was in my review, I said, oh, they should have done a whole 45 minutes of that. You know, stick a guy in a Purge version of The Running Man. That's awesome. but they didn't. So it's a real mixed bag of ideas, and it's all right, but he needs to settle down a bit. It's a bit like a crazy child right now.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think it's interesting that the Purge was one of those film series that was, everyone said it was ripe for being a TV show. Like, there's so many things you could do in that world and expand it into various stories that, you know, and it kind of made sense that it was adapted. And sort of giving them 3 out of 5 stars seems like it's pretty much in line with the film series anyway. That's they're not fantastic films, but enjoyable for what they are. Yeah. Does that seem fair?
Yeah, it's not. I would say that it's not quite as good as, I mean, I really enjoyed the last 3 Purge films, and I would say it's not quite as good as them because you haven't quite got the compelling characters right now. But ultimately, I'm not bothered about the characters. I'm there to see some mayhem and, you know, just I want lots of fun, stupid, pulpy, bloody, gory ideas thrown into the pot. But equally, I want them to take their time and do them justice over these like 10, 12 episodes or however many it is. So, if you like, let's put it this way, right? If you like the Purge films, definitely watch it because you'll enjoy it.
Great. I mean, one of the things that we could expand on here, I think, is the idea of comic books and TV shows and films that are all adapting each other. I mean, specifically, if you think of things that have been adapted for TV, novels as, you know, ten a penny. You know, any good novel gets either a film or a TV show, and BBC at the minute are making a few of those. But in terms of like comics as well, I think that have been adapted for the TV, they always get a mixed response. And I'm not sure whether it's, you would think a comic book would work because it's quite episodic, isn't it? You know, you've got an issue, and therefore that issue could be a TV episode, maybe. Or whatever. So, you know, if you think of like the way DC have adapted stuff for the CW at the moment, all the Arrow and Flash and all those kind of shows, they're pretty like phenomenally successful for what was expected of them. And I was going to, I'm mentioning this as comics specifically because, Steve, it's another chance to lean in into you and say, what do you think of The Walking Dead, of course, because that's a conversation we've had many times on here.
Yeah.
And as a person who's read the comics and the TV shows is what I mean.
Yeah. The Walking Dead is now having to in some ways diverge from the comic material. I mean, in some ways it isn't. It looks like it's going to follow the same loose storyline, but obviously two of the biggest characters left in the comics are Rick and Maggie, and I don't think it's a spoiler to say because it's been pretty widely publicized, but the actors playing both of those characters in the TV show are leaving during this upcoming season 9. The details of the character departure obviously yet to be revealed, but it has been revealed that it will be those two characters will be leaving the show. So with those being big central characters in the comics, they're now going to have to sort of diverge. They're going to have to pick up people to replace them in their roles because they're big roles. They're kind of leadership roles in the group. They're big central characters. So they've got to find either a new character and put them in there or bring up a secondary character into that role. So it'll be perhaps interesting. Well, if this hadn't have happened, I may well have given up on The Walking Dead.
Okay, that's quite interesting. I mean, we can sort of wrap this up to say what's coming up on the website this week. So obviously, Tony, you've already mentioned you've got a Purge review coming up soon for episode 3. Also, you have a Jack Ryan season review, which is, of course, another adaptation. Some of those adaptations have been more successful than others. Is the Jack Ryan series would you put it amongst the more successful adaptations?
It's no Clear and Present Danger, let's put it that way, but equally it's no Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit with Chris Pine either, right? It's firmly in the middle, and it's not bad. I warmed to it a bit more as it went on, and John Krasinski is actually, he might be my favourite Jack Ryan since Harrison Ford, so it's got potential, definitely.
Great. Okay, so people have got all sorts of things to look forward to coming up on SetTheTape.com. But for now, here is Matt Latham with his cassette tape.
Insert your own quirky sound effect of inputting a cassette tape into the deck here. I'm Matthew Latham. This is the section referred to as the cassette tape. And what do we have this week? Glastow news. After a fallow year this year, Glastonbury will be back next year. Tickets go on sale on October the 7th, and rumours have been flying around already for who's going to get the fabled Sunday Legend slot. Kylie Minogue is the name that started to roam around for that title. It's a slot that has previously held Dolly Parton, Lionel Richie, and Barry Gibb. I'm all for it. I'm completely pro Kylie. Her older stuff is great pop work, and her reinventions throughout her career have constantly churned out quality songs. People have argued that Glastonbury isn't the rock or guitar festival it once was. I feel it's a vast space for all kinds of music, as it's gotten that big that any kind of music could and should feel represented. I admittedly won't go to it because it just feels too big for me. I hope Kylie gets on the pyramid stage. She's worthy of that slot in my opinion. I also hope that I'm at home watching it and not in a tent in heavy rain. And with that, let's fast forward to the albums coming out in the next fortnight. First up is Black Honey's album. They're a band that rode initial hype with some great singles. Finally, they released their album, just as my personal hype for them has died down a bit. I'm hoping that this album reinvigorates how great I think they are. I've kept away from the singles for this very reason. Brockhampton. Now, I have no idea who or what they are, he's, she's, or whatever. I have no idea what they're about, but I know that the name keeps coming up on my Twitter feed every single day, so I think the internet has to mention them at least once. Finally, we have Metric. They're a great band. I love their first few albums. Then I drifted away. I liked their last one. Then I saw them live and I felt lost as they didn't play many of the ones that I knew. Their new singles, however, are great, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the new album sounds like. And that's it for this time. Eject yourself before you wreck yourself. I'm Matt Latham, and you've been listening to The Cassette Tape.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In free play this week, we are going to celebrate our first birthday, which is happening today, the time of recording. Steve, you've got a list of questions that have been gathered from writers, readers, listeners of the podcast that you're going to throw at us, and maybe some of your own as well. Take it away, Steve.
Probably worth saying thanks first to Helen Balls and Wendy Atwell for compiling these for us.
Helen shared the fact that it's also her dog's birthday today, same as ours. His name is Rusty. Did you catch what Helen's surname was there, Steve?
Yes. And I was trying my best not to make any jokes, but you've now just lowered me to that level. So,
brought you down, I'm sorry.
So Helen, if you are listening, I did not bring the conversation about your surname to this. It was them. It was Owen, not me. I'm carrying on as the professional I am.
Well, somebody's got to.
Yes. Yeah. So, anyway, the first question is, how did Set the Tape come about? Whose idea was it? And what did it take to make it a reality? That's three questions, really, but, right. You know, tackle that as you wish. God, you can see why you didn't let me host this thing, can't you, already?
it was one of those things where we were kind of both having the same idea from different vantage points, weren't we? And then... I think you emailed me, Owen, and said, do you fancy setting something up? And I happened to go, actually, weirdly enough, I've been genuinely thinking about doing something like this recently. And then it was when I think about it, it was quite odd in that sense, wasn't it?
It was basically, I was coming to the end of my penultimate term in university. And I was like, I don't, because I've been running Fail Critics for, I think we'd been going for about 5 years after taking over from James. And I was just like, it's probably what I want to do is write. Now, I've my degree's in journalism. I want to be a journalist. I want to set up a website where I could possibly either make a bit of money or ultimately a living eventually. And Tony,
how's that going?
Don't ruin it, Steve.
Yeah. Your fee is what's killing the no. So I looked at what Tony was doing and I thought, we could make something work if us two pulled our sort of resources together, and really had a go at it. I thought we could make a website we would both be proud of. And the reality is, it is something I think that we're both very proud of. And the first year's gone much smoother than I expected. We've got a great team of writers, more so than I expected to turn up. And, you know, all of a great standard as well, it has to be said.
Yeah.
We've had some people come and go, but I think where we are at the moment is further ahead than I expected us to be. So, yeah, I'm very pleased with how it's going so far.
Yeah, and the setup was really that we just got together in Oxford, which we sort of alternate summit locations. So sometimes I go to Oxford, Owen comes to Birmingham. And we sat down and we brainstormed everything we wanted to do. And we came at it from different vantage points. So Owen's much better at a lot of the, you know, website management stuff and the journalistic, you know, aspects. And I was able to tap into a core group of people who I knew could write and I thought would be interested and things like that. And we just put our heads together. And then I think it was in a beef eater or somewhere where we ran through what must have been, God knows how many variations of names. And I wish we still had the list, actually, of potential names, because that would have been fun. Until at one point we were saying tape. Something to do with tape. We like tape. You know, we're at the 80s. We like the 80s. We're kids of the 80s. Mm. And then I think you said, Owen, I think you went, well, you know, we remember where we used to set the tape for things when we were a kid. And I was like, yeah. And then you go, set the tape?
Yeah.
Set the tape? And we were like, set the tape?
And we focus grouped it, obviously, with your then fiance.
yes. And she gave it thumbs up. She liked it. It kind of just all blossomed from there, really. And then I remember last summer being on holiday in Portugal and spending most of it on my phone, scheduling and contacting writers and setting up the launch day, which was quite funny.
But that was it, basically. It was in a pub over a beef eater meal thing, beer and a burger for a tenner or whatever it is, and then we came up with the name.
Okay, and when you started the venture, did you think you'd make it to a year?
I did, Owen. I don't know about you. I thought it would, but I didn't know really what it was going to entail in a way. You know, even though I'd written for websites and I'd picked some things up before from other setups, I didn't really know what that year was going to look like. I don't know about you.
I mean, Owen had done a much more poorly organised website and podcast than this for 5 years. So there was every reason why this one would last longer.
Yeah.
The reason that I think this one worked a lot longer is because, like I said a bit earlier, Tony and I pulled our resources and we're both, I think it's not going to offend either of us to say we both have different strengths. And I think I'm quite good at managing something. Tony is very good at coming up with very creative ideas and pulling all these things together. And we both kind of complement each other's skill set, really. And so I think that's why it's lasted a year. And I was confident that it would. It's, you know, sometimes it's like I'm reining Tony in a little bit and sometimes Tony's pushing me to expand and do things I hadn't thought about. So I think it works quite well that way.
Has anything exceeded your expectations, and are there any goals you have not yet achieved?
Oh, there's loads of things we haven't yet achieved that we want to do. But I think...
Well, we only met up at the weekend to come up with some new goals and targets for ourselves. So, it's something that gets reviewed regularly anyway. We do run it professionally, you know? Mm. We come up with, strategies and different sort of ideas. That's how it's different to the previous things that I've worked on anyway.
Yeah, so the same with me as well. And it's all about sort of learning as you go, really, and putting the feelers out. And I think, one of the things that we've done is that we've reached out, one of the things people don't always realize when they run a website or they run a podcast or whatever is you'd be amazed how many people will give you things in exchange for coverage. You'd genuinely be amazed. People don't go, I won't do that because, I don't want to email. Do you know what I mean? Get out there and put your name out there because you will build up contacts surprisingly quickly. And we want to keep building on that in order to get more content on the site and, grow in that kind of way. And that's just one example, really, of what else we can do.
Yeah. And that's not to say that we're sort of encouraging people to give us their hard work for nothing. It's, if people want to write for us, great. We're very upfront that we can't offer any money. We're not trying to get people and throwing a hissy fit when we say, well, we can, the only thing that we have that might help is hosting some content for you to put a portfolio together with. We're very clear about that. And the idea would be, going back to, is there anything that we've not achieved yet? Having a profit that we can then share with people who are very generously giving us their time. That's the only thing we haven't achieved yet. But again, there are things that we put in place to help us get there eventually. And we kind of hope that will happen within the next year or so.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking as much about actually reaching out to contacts in the industry and PR and things like that then, as well as writers, because I think you made the point importantly there, Owen, that, we've seen at points some discourse online about how, people it should be necessarily advised against writing for free. And we've got our own opinions on that. But I think there's also the factor of, that sometimes there are various different ways you can approach writing. And, what we try and do is, we know we can't pay people yet. We're hoping we will, but we try and do our best to sort of encourage and give people a space in which, they can show off their work. Even though we'd like to show it off to more people, we'd like them to, get more coverage with things and have more opportunities. I think the people who have written for us, we like to think, and from what they tell us, value the fact that they've got a space in which they can work with other writers, see what other people are doing, and indulge what they really enjoy, And there's not always necessarily those spaces around,
Yeah.
Well, I think the questions start getting a little bit more fun from this point on.
Okay, good.
So, both of you, what are your favourite genres and least favourite as well?
Well, go on, Owen, you go first.
Horror is mine. Yeah, horror's mine. I think, again, when we were met up at the weekend, we were talking about sort of horror film, mainly because I was considering this Shudder idea. And I think that horror is very, very broad as a genre. It's open to so many different things. It's not all about scares always. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's more about creating atmosphere. And you get the most creative types of filmmakers in the horror genre. So I'd say horror's mine. I don't know if Tony's similar or... I think you quite like sci-fi, right, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, I do really like horror, don't get me wrong. I mean, you and I and our mates Brooker and Adam are going to a horror all-nighter in a few weeks. Mm. I do really like it. I think sci-fi and action, probably my favourites, really. Because, I've grown up like a sci-fi geek. I'm a big Star Trek fan and obviously, the X-Files and all these kind of things. So, I'm more on that axis, really. I think the least favourite, I probably would go for costume drama. As a subgenre, I can't be doing with a lot of that, really. I just get it does depend on the setting, but I just get bored frequently.
Like a good period drama. Good period drama, as long as it's not wholly romantic and schmaltzy.
That's more what I'm talking about, I think. Yeah, that kind of thing.
But my least favourite would probably be musicals, if you can call musicals a genre. I think you can. You know what? If I said yes, a musical, you know what kind of film I would... Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. That would probably be it. Anything where you get subtitles appear at the bottom of the screen, I'm out.
Okay, what movie or TV show that people rave about do you not get?
I've got one.
Yeah?
Shall I start? The Simpsons. Now, I've probably lost friends over this, and I've certainly probably lost a lot of respect from people as I say this right now, but I have never, ever, ever...
Oh, it has disconnected from the call.
I've never, ever understood what is funny about The Simpsons. I just do not get it at all, and I've tried. Believe me, I've tried. I just cannot get there.
Are you talking peak Simpsons? Have you tried watching...
I'm talking any Simpsons.
Because there are way more bad episodes than good episodes now, but like peak Simpsons is genius.
I can't get into it. I've tried. I really don't think it's for me, but there you go.
Owen?
I would say Friends. I don't understand how it became such the massive TV show that it was. I think it's pretty ordinary, and I think there are other American sitcoms that are far better that don't get quite the same level of adoration. I just think Friends is very... There's something uncomfortable about it, in the same way like a Richard Curtis British movie is quite uncomfortable, and it's idyllic, like white middle-class sort of fantasies, and I just thought, nah, it's not for me, thank you. Having that size apartment in New York when you don't seem to actually have a job, I'm out.
Okay. Yeah.
Plus, I don't really think it's that funny. And the laughter tracks all the way through it, the studio laughter is, anyway, we'll stop.
Yeah, so a couple of other questions that came from Helen. She doesn't tell me why you're making this decision, whether these people are going to be your captain, your friend, your partner in crime, your cop buddy, your friend, your lover, but Mulder or Scully?
Mulder. For the fact that I like he's just my favourite.
Yeah.
Mulder.
Kirk or Picard?
Kirk.
10 years ago, Picard? Now I'd say Kirk.
Right. These are on to the questions from Wendy. Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
Vampire, I think. Really. I've got enough
immortality.
Hair.
Immortality. Yeah.
Yeah, it was that as well.
But see, werewolf for me... I mean, not that I was being asked, but I would do a werewolf. Because vampire, you're a vampire... 24/7. Now, werewolf, you're a werewolf once a month, the rest of the time, and only at night, the rest of the time, you're just you. So I think being a werewolf, there'd be less impact on your life.
Probably.
Vampires can't go out in the day. You can't eat garlic. You can't go near a church.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true, isn't it?
It's the garlic.
I do like garlic.
Yeah.
Maybe werewolf. Maybe I'll change. Werewolf. I'm going to change as well. Yeah. You've talked us around.
I've just gone for the one that is least hassle. Not looked at the benefits at all, just gone for least hassle. And the final question that we have, if you were to be involved in a time travel accident and you'd have to live out your life in the time that you ended up in, would you go past or future?
Future.
And if I said this, yeah, okay. That negates the next thing I was going to say. I was going to say, if you decide to go past, which era?
I would quite like to go to the Dark Ages just to see what actually went down there.
Yeah, but you've got to live there, though. You're in an accident, Owen. It's all gone wrong.
Whole of history.
Can't go back. It's not like, I can nip to the Dark Ages for an hour and have a look round. It's like, no, you're stuck there now. You're living out...
Four, 500... 500 AD, the Romans have left Britain. What the is going down here for the next 500 years?
So you'd want to live the rest of your life in an era where you know nothing about other than people probably didn't live beyond 40,
yeah.
And it was yeah.
If I was wealthy, yeah.
Yeah, but even
I wouldn't go back as a peasant.
Like,
I'd go back as a landowner.
Even the wealthy,
you have a choice. All you've got is a busted time machine that serves no purpose to anybody in that time.
Well, you don't know what's going on in the future, do you? You could end up in a future where Trump is like the demigod, and
we're already there. But like, we don't have to go forward. But no, true. But I think you're being wildly unimaginative. I'm going back to like ancient Rome, me, and a few gold coins in my pocket, I'm going to be out of a whale of a time. You can stay there in your hut, mate, with your helmet.
Yeah, I might pop over to Rome.
I would go back to last week again because it would cause me the least hassle.
which day, though? You got to choose your day.
Saturday, because we lost at football. I could try and impact on that again and not let that happen.
I really don't think you two really appreciate the power and technology you've got here.
If I'm going to be stuck in the past, I don't want it to impact me that much. Last week is fine. That's all the questions, though. We are out of questions.
I think the last few were the best. Definitely. No disrespect to anyone, but...
Yeah, who wanted to ask serious questions about the website and how it runs? Can't we ask more questions about would you rather be this or that?
I feel like there's an hour's podcast in this time machine thingy. I think we could very much go more in-depth about the reasons why and what would happen.
I want to go back to last week.
To last Saturday.
There's a niche.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to another episode of STT Rewind with me, Owen Hughes, and my guests this week, Steve Norman, Tony Black, and Matt Latham. If you enjoyed the show, it would mean a great deal to us if you could like and review us on iTunes or wherever you download your podcasts from. I know I say this every week, but it genuinely would make my day to see a 5-star review. We'll be back in a fortnight's time for another episode. In the meantime, check out our reviews of The Predator, The Purge, and our Shudder Top 100 list over at setthetape.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter @setthetape. Otherwise, we'll see you in a fortnight's time.